amazing world, Off Hollywood Media presents a voice of truth and inspiration, resonating a vibration of love, laughter, and understanding, illuminating new paths for new directions as we, as one, strive for higher and higher planes of existence, always remembering life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before, life changes. And now, your host, our MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Thank you for that, Mark. It's great to have you live in the studio. And actually, today we're going to have you live during the interview, too, which will be quite fun and exciting. We thought we'd do something different this time and spice it up a little bit and have some fun. Well, we always have fun, don't we? You know, the interesting thing is that something happened this week that things happen all the time, but this week I was having something happen that I think happens a lot to people. And sometimes other people think, oh, I just know he's doing it on purpose, and she did it again, and I can't believe it, or she said that, and she knew that. And we make assumptions, and arguments happen, and people get upset, and people lose jobs, and relationships break up, and it's just so interesting. And here, something happened that I had no attachment to whatsoever, and yet it happened over and over again. And if there was energy on it, like if it was offending somebody, people would have thought that I was doing it on purpose. So this is what I mean. This is what happened. Silly thing, but actually, a wonderful thing. One of my brothers, my younger brother, was going to visit my mom, and he was going to go visit her on Friday. Now, they live a distance apart, so I knew they were making a trip, and I knew that he was going this past Friday to go see my mom with his family. Now, it was Friday. I knew it was going to be Friday, but Thursday morning, I'm talking to my mother, and I said, what time is my brother leaving to come up today? And she said, he's not coming up today. He's coming up on Friday. And I said, oh, that's right. Today's Thursday. End of story. Now, hours later, I'm talking to my other brother. And I said, I understand our brother's going to be seeing mom today. And he said, really? I thought it was Friday. It's like, oh, that's right. Today's Thursday. And then come Thursday night, I text my younger brother, and I said, I hope you're having a good trip. Enjoy mom tonight. When you see her, say hello for me. And I did it three times, and if I had talked to somebody else in the family, I probably would have done it four or five. Now, I knew Thursday was Thursday because I had meetings all day Friday that had Thursday been Friday, I would have missed. Or had Friday been, I don't know, but you understand what I mean. And so I had no ulterior motive to hash and rehash this thing about my brother going up to see my mom, except that I was excited about it. So the fact that it happened three times, I actually am glad it did. Because by the third time I thought, wow, what if this kind of thing happens to other people and people think he had an ulterior motive for saying that? Ulterior motive for saying that. That's the word. he can't say ulterior motive. So, for example, if somebody calls somebody, makes a mistake in calling their name, or spells their name incorrectly in an email or something, and then somebody corrects them and says, you know, actually my name is this, and then they go and they call them that same wrong name again. And they could say, you know, they're just trying to do that to piss me off. I hate when they do that. And I think, you know, how many times does that actually happen innocently? Well, deep down inside, they probably had. What if it was just like me having no ulterior? Mark, is that the word?
Ulterior.
Okay, I don't know why I have. Okay, so what if I had no ulterior motive, which I didn't. Can't think of any, and so what if somebody's calling somebody's name by accident and it happens three times and people get upset and they make assumptions, and it's a horrible thing. And it's interesting because something like that then went and happened. it wouldn't happen with somebody that I'm very close to. And I said something, and they thought, you know, Filippo, you know this, that, and how come you? And they got all weirded out on me. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. You know, first of all, you know me, and you know that I don't have any reason to try and be mean or to try and say something that would offend you. Or so why would you go there? And why are you biting my ass over this? I mean, really, do we really need this? What's going on? And so I was sharing with yet another friend that this situation happened and how I don't see the need for this anymore. And this friend said something really interesting. He said, Filippo, isn't that what we came down here for? And what he means by come down here is like, you know, we came to Earth kind of thing. I said, what do you mean? And he says, you know, you complaining about the fact that somebody is acting kind of human, so to speak, going into a human reaction about something mundane or you know, simple, or you know, it is like you saying, I want to go to Haiti where the earthquake just happened and help people there, and then when you get there you complain because there are a lot of hurt people and there's rubble everywhere. Well, of course there was an earthquake, and of course people got hurt and there's rubble everywhere, so what are you surprised about? And then he used another analogy. In case that didn't work for me, he went to another one. He said, do you remember, I don't know if it was in New Orleans or where it was, but evidently recently or something, I didn't know this story, but he shared that a fireman was saving a dog that was stuck in this river that started to really increase during the rains, and this poor dog got caught in the middle of this stream and ended up holding on to a log or something for dear life, and a fireman went to save him and the dog bit him, but the fireman retreated a little bit, made sure that he was okay according to the way this friend was sharing me the story, and then went back to save the dog because he understood that the dog was scared and the dog was in survival mode. The dog was in panic mode. And he said he understood the dog wasn't trying to hurt, literally bite the hand that was saving him, but was panicking. And so what we have right now in a lot of parts of the world, and especially with the economy and some uncertainty, we have a lot of panicking people and panicking friends. And some of us are biting each other when we're actually trying to help each other, or when somebody is actually trying to help us. And I thought it was a brilliant analogy that this friend gave. And he actually took it one step forward. Actually, it was Mark Skelton. I'll go ahead and say it. He used to be a producer on the show. Brilliant guy. Love him. And I'm sure he's listening. So, Mark, thank you for the story. I'm sure you recognize it. But he went one step further. And he said, sometimes, though, just like firemen, we get caught with embers that fall on the actual people trying to do the saving. And so sometimes the firemen actually need help, too. And so other firemen come in to help. So it's a really interesting time. I really like that situation happened with me making that mistake three times and making me think, wait a minute, sometimes this stuff really does happen innocently because we're so worried about other things in our lives or thinking about other things and we don't pay attention. And then sometimes when somebody is actually trying to help us, we're biting them or people bite us. But maybe that's why we're all here at this time. There's rubble all around us, and we just have to have compassion and understanding and knowing that we are here to help clear the rubble. We didn't come down to a place where there was no rubble. And so I think we can do that. And again, I thank Mark for bringing that up and for helping me see it that way. So with that, I want to remind everybody that you're listening to me, Filippo Voltaggio, on Life Changes. And you can visit us on the web at www.lifechanges.ws. Lifechanges.ws. And we get to talk to people that have either made changes in their life, are helping other people make changes, or out there changing the world. And we talk about all kinds of topics, from the things going on inside of ourselves to the things going on around us or in the world. And today's guest, he falls right into that in such a beautiful way. She's got a book called How to Ditch the Life Your Mind Created and Start Living the One Your Soul Intended, Living Beyond Belief. Her name is Jaya Lee, and she's actually in the studio with us, and I'm very excited to have her. She's a writer, she's a singer and a songwriter, and a poet, a performer, and a healer. As a matter of fact, for the past 5 years or so, she's been going into the federal prisons on a regular basis to work with the inmates, which is quite an amazing mission. In any event, she used to be 250 pounds. It's okay to say that, right?
It is.
Oh, okay.
No.
She used to be two. I don't want to be saying anything because I know you. Anyway, it's relevant.
Oh God,
trust me,
know.
It's relevant. It's relevant, right?
It is.
Okay, so she used to be 250 pounds, and she used to be in a very abusive relationship. And now it's interesting because of her healing and her getting out of this relationship, the same man that was abusive to her is now no longer abusive to not only her, but to anybody else, and is transforming himself to the point where he is actually saying to her, hey, have you read this book, or did you know this is going on? Mm-hmm. And so some amazing things are happening. I would say starting to live beyond belief, like Jaya's book says. So we welcome Jaya Lee to the show.
Thank you, Philippa. It's so great to be here. Thank you.
I'm glad you're here. We're glad you're here. And like I said, we have something different this time, where we have Mark Legere, our producer, chiming in every once in a while. And I'm so glad he didn't chime in when I said the 250-pound thing. But tell us why it's relevant. Tell us why.
Oh, wow. Well, it's relevant because, you know, when we're living beyond belief, or we're in that space, finding our authentic self, we no longer use outer substances. You know, the same as alcohol, the same as drugs, anything like that, to use to cover up not only the shadow in us, but also the gifts that we have to share. So it was relevant when this opening happened. For me, it just seemed to melt away and fall off.
The excess
weight. Yes. Mm. Because there was no longer being trying to put a lid on it.
It's a tool.
Push it down. Yeah,
to
yeah.
To hide your pain, your sorrow, your frustration.
Exactly.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So, okay. So you say that you had this opening. Describe this opening. It's in the book, by the way, but...
Yeah. Well, the opening... Yeah, I was sharing just a little bit about the opening... can be either really graceful when we're on a path and we're meditating and we're dealing with things as they come up. And if we're not doing that, like I definitely was not doing that before, did have a drug problem, alcohol problem, eating problem, everything under the sun problem to try to keep this energy down.
Now this I didn't know, otherwise I would have said that.
Okay,
earlier.
Well...
She had a drug problem.
It's been done. Anything we could do to keep it down.
You know, to look at you, that seems like the farthest thing. I mean, to look at your face and to look at, you know, to know who you are now and the music you make and the book. I mean, that's the farthest thing that I would expect.
Yeah. Yeah, it really, you know, we talk about transformation. It's not just a little change. It's not just changing from one thing to another thing. It really was like just a blowing the lid off. And it was a moment of realizing it was literally like waking up from a nightmare. And in the morning when you wake up and when you're having one of those just insane, crazy nightmares and you wake up and there's this, you know, stress and oh my God, I can't. And then you start to go, wait a minute, that's just a dream. And as it comes over you, you start to relax and you start to say, oh, it's just a dream. And that's literally what happened. And my whole life before that, I could really see it as that wasn't even me. That was me just in this dream state, reacting to everything, thinking that I was all these things I thought I was, just a horrible person and couldn't get anything right, you know, all these things. So that's when everything started to change and move in a different direction. And
woohoo. I'll take some of that. So you talk about that in the book, but how can other people have that? You call it a moment. Some people say an aha.
Yeah.
And let's talk about that.
Okay. Yeah. To consciously have it rather than to have it through crisis.
So you had it through crisis.
I had it through crisis.
You were at a low point in your life.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And it came, you know, through grace. Because you can't really push it, but you can't make it happen, but you can create space for it to happen. And you can intend for it to happen. So if you're going, if you have the intention that I really want to know myself on a deeper level, what am I really here for? You start to ask those questions. You start to maybe take a class or two that are on those lines. Get into a meditation class where you're just starting to go deeper into those questions and into that space. And to do healing work, too, and pay attention to the things that are coming up and, you know, some negative things or thoughts, and you start to journal around that and really doing the inner work, I guess. In basic terms, that leads to these openings, and you start to have more of them and more of them, and life gets bigger, you know, more space.
So where do you suggest people start? Like, you're working with people in prison, so mm-hmm. they're at the bottom, let's say, of the bottom in so many ways, right?
Very interesting, yes. And
so, I mean, so yeah. Hopefully some of us are further beyond that. So if you can move them forward, you know, that gives us hope. But how do you work with them in moving them forward? I mean, how does it start where they don't look at you and say, right, lady?
Well, this has been an ongoing project. I think in this particular prison in Terminal Island, I think I can say where it is, in San Pedro, there has been, I think, a meditation group that started about 20 or 25 years ago.
Really?
So this is a unique place, even though there's programs going all throughout the world in different prisons. But this is probably a unique prison where they, since it's a federal prison, and it used to be a medium security, now it's a minimum. So these guys, they see how fortunate they are. And that just Saturday night I was in, and several were saying just how grateful they are. They have the space, they have the time to go so deep and do the inner work that they're hitting spaces. I mean, I know, it's your face, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Can you believe this?
Yeah, oh, it is incredible.
I feel like I want to go talk to them or something.
You know, why don't you?
We
you
should.
Come in. Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
So getting them to recognize the openings seems like the first step.
Well, you know, they have the time. Yeah, they're reading the books. Mm. They're doing the work and the commitment. Once you start hitting these spaces, you know, once you start having these experiences of letting things go and feeling better and all, you know, you realize, wow, I don't feel that shame anymore. I don't feel that burden that I've been carrying is lifting, and my relationships are improving. Because they're in prison, but they still have, you know, wives or children or, you know, relationships, mothers, fathers. And
how's that affecting them?
How is
the wives, the mothers, how is that affecting them?
They tell stories about that too, about their actually raising the consciousness of, they're sharing what they're learning with their kids, so they're practicing in all areas. It's really beautiful.
Wow.
And this vision that came in about 5 years ago, of all prisons in the world evolving into healing centers.
Wow.
That is really the only thing that makes sense, because to put people away and put them in punishment and blame and judgment, and where you're just doing time alone does nothing to change someone and to help them come into a better way of life, which as society we all say that's what we want, of course. You know, we want a safer, you know, safer streets. We don't want people coming out who are even better criminals than they were when they came in.
Mm.
So not everyone in the prison is going into these circles, you know. It might only be, you know, a quarter or an eighth of this.
I got to ask, are they made fun of? I don't know why
Well, you know what, it can be an issue. But what I always see, it's amazing going in and talking, we get into deep discussions, and I realize it's no different on the outside. I say, because, you know, just like when we're starting to go into this stuff, peers, friends, family members can go, you know, what are you in a cult? What are you doing? What is this? It's so strange.
Right.
So it's the same kind of thing, and they do. They have some pressure to do it, but that's the commitment, too. And sometimes they end up bringing other people in that are...
leading by example.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. In your book, you're a poet.
Yes.
I bet you knew that.
Yes.
She's a poet. She's a poet.
Oh, my gosh.
And she has poetry
wow.
in her book.
That's true.
And there's this one poem that I thought was really interesting because we hear this phrase over and over again. We use it. I think it maybe was used in Disney or something like that. Growing up, I remember it. But this is what she did with this. Hear this out, and then hopefully you'll explain it to us. Mir, why are you laughing?
Explain it.
Oh, she's making fun of the way I speak. Mirror, mirror on the wall. You mean it's my issue after all? I race and race to change the scene while my inner state is reflecting. Is that really me that I see in the face of my enemy? Reflecting the parts of myself that I've denied, put on a shelf. Only when I can really see me and forgive myself will I truly be free.
Wow.
Okay, so explain yourself.
You know, so that, you know, the chapter on projection, and that's where that one comes from, I always thought that's probably the most powerful one in the book, because when we can start to get that everything we get upset over, everything we see is wrong and we get angry about, there's an opportunity for healing, that we're seeing it through a lens. There's something in us that it's causing disturbance. It's not the thing outside of us. It's something, and that's such a hard one to get because we're so trained to get mad at everything in the world.
The more I've experienced, the more I recognize that the reality of our existence. Once you start recognizing what you might be projecting, which is a start, right? Mm-hmm. When you recognize what mm-hmm. your energy is, what positive, negative, whatever the situation is, then it's so easy to see you're getting it back. Mm-hmm. And then if you start looking at it. At least what's worked with me is looking at it almost like a television show, right? And you watch that scene that you just put out and then stand back and see what you get.
Mm.
And when you continue to do that, right?
Awesome.
That's what I've been trying to do. And you get it back. And then when you can compare, you start to realize if you put a different scene out there, you get a different response. I can understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that ties into intent, which you're really big on too.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's talk about that, because like what Mark is saying is you intend for the scene to look different. So
yeah,
explain yourself.
So on that.
it's so funny
because. That is wild. On the way, you know, this just the little intuitive thing. I heard that on the way. I heard
seriously,
and that you keep on saying
like,
it.
Well,
like,
I'm probably picking it up from you.
If
you had heard something else on the way here, I would have been.
That was my intent. I'm projecting. That's what I always wonder too. Is it me putting it out there, or was it in the field, or you know, how does it all work like that? It's
yeah.
very interesting. But
we'll explain it to us.
Okay, I'll explain it. Explain yourself. But I think I was feeling the humor and the lightness, too. This is really wonderful.
Oh, good.
It's really wonderful.
Well, that's who we are.
Yes. So awesome.
We have our own language, our own words.
It's great.
Actually, explain comes
world,
from Ricky Ricardo in
know,
the I Love Lucy show. At least I think. But.
Explain. Yeah. And so,
Lucy.
Well, on the intention part, you know, the intention too, you know, our deepest intention sometimes, a lot of times, is unconscious. So, because when we come into the world, we might have, you know, the soul intention, that's where that comes in. We come in to bring something specific. We come in with gifts. We come in to heal some karma, maybe, to learn and grow spiritually, to remember who we are. And then we get sidetracked with these different intentions that might be implanted, you know, and we have to, you know, make money. We have to do these things that we think we need to do. And so coming back into our deeper intentions and remembering why we're really here and doing that, and even the intention to see what am I putting out there, you know, even that is an intention. So in a way, it's intention really begins a lot, the movement forward. And we start to align our deeper intention with our conscious intention, and we just start moving with that. Because then, you know, we start seeing things we didn't see before because our intention has changed. It's, you know, I really want to heal. So that's for people starting out, too. That's one of the main things. Really, what is your intention? Like, really, what are you here for? And it's something to really sit with for a while, not just off the top of our heads. Well, I want to do this or that. You know, really sit with it. What am I here for? You know, what do I really want?
And you actually mean why I came on this earth, kind of why I'm here, whatever.
Yeah,
here
that's what I mean by the deeper intention. Because there can be a lot of surface intentions or goals, which can be part of our deeper intention. But once we really understand that there might be conflicting intentions, you know, one part of us wants to stay safe and not do anything or scared, you know, so I want to stay safe and protect myself. And another one has this soul intention that, no, I want to go out and share this, and I want to develop this gift. And I want to, so aligning those and getting those into a place where we can move forward powerfully.
Mm.
That can be an intention in itself. Yeah.
Well, speaking about sharing gifts, actually, you sent us the CD that you made called Pandora's Box, and I opened it.
Oh, no. Told you not to.
Blame yourself. I mean, I opened the CD, which happened to be called Pandora's Box, and I listened to the music, and there were so many that I would have loved to be able to share with the audience, but they'll just have to get their own box and open it. Actually, why Pandora's Box? Explain yourself.
Okay, that one I will explain. That, you know, the idea of Pandora's Box, when we open that box, it's, you know, the traditional tale around it is that the world was destroyed. It let up these locusts and it just destroyed the whole world. When we start to do our healing work, that's how it can feel in the beginning.
Ah.
Because all of the junk starts coming up to be released. And we think, God, I wish I would have never opened that box, you know,
right.
Because things start falling away that aren't in alignment with that deeper soul intention. So,
but before they
like
fall
like
away,
that.
They come out.
Yeah,
up,
they come up. But I mean, like, relationships can fall away, jobs can fall away. And then, then all this junk's come up inside that I wasn't feeling before because I was pushing it down. So it can feel like it's getting much worse.
That's so interesting because I have friends ask me, how are you? I say, I'm great. They're like, really? Things are going well? I'm like, I'm sure they are. It doesn't look like it, but I know they are because junk is coming up.
Yes.
It's the proverbial shaken rug. Right?
Yes, exactly.
Shaking
and
rug,
you learn to
yeah.
see it totally different with a different perspective like that. Because you get to learn the cycles. And when you make it through one and you come up on another level, you know what it feels like. Wow, I must be detoxing again. We're getting ready to go to a new level.
We're going
so
deeper.
Other things exactly have to fall away.
Well, that's Pandora's Box, and we're talking to Jaya Lee and her CD about her CD and her book, and we'd like to play a track if we could. It's track number 4. This one really got me. I'd love to play the whole piece, but let's play a piece of If You Knew the Love. Let's hear that from Pandora's Box, Jaya Lee.
If you knew how much I loved you, if you only knew, you could lay down every reason for not being you. If you knew the love behind let each word flow through you like a painter in mid-stroke. If you knew the way I see you when I look into your eyes, you'd never need to question whether loving me was wise. If you knew the way I cherish everything you do, then you could start is really true. If you knew the love, 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 if you knew is really true.
You've been listening to Jaya Lee's music, the song being If You Knew the Love from her CD Pandora's Box. And you're listening to Life Changes, www.lifechanges.ws. And this is Filippo Voltaggio, and we have Jaya Lee in the studio and our producer, Mark Legere. And, you know, it's funny because I actually chose that song for the second verse. But we didn't. As we were playing it, I'm thinking, oh, wait a minute, that's not the part. But I'm glad we started where we started because it's a beautiful part. The first part actually sounds kind of romantic and kind of making somebody feel that, you know, they could feel good about themselves if they knew how much we love them. But the second part kind of goes deeper in. So do you mind sharing those words with us?
Yeah, so that goes, let's see. I've been looking for this love, been searching all around, traveled to the ends of the earth, never was it found. Now I finally see the truth that sets me free. The love I've searched for my whole life is here inside of me.
Absolutely, and that was the part that really got me. The love I've searched for my whole life is here inside of me.
Yeah.
So I have to ask, I mean, does this come out of the relationship that you were describing before? Or actually, no, another song does too, actually, right?
There's which one?
Don't remember now, but...
Well, this was the second song that that came through. And I say came through because I didn't know how to write a song or anything. I went to a workshop to help heal my relationship with my voice. It's like, damn the way I sound. I had no idea. When he told me that I could sing, I thought he was kidding. I was actually ready to cry. I thought he was messing because it just didn't click. It was so far removed from what I thought was possible. But this song came through. It was actually like someone whispering in my ear, and it felt like one of my guides. It felt like one of my angels on the other side at first when that was coming through. You know, if you knew the way I loved you, you know, and it was really a sweet energy. Yeah, and then it shifted into more of like the personal voice of me saying, I've looked for this all over. Now I see it's inside of me. It's been here all along. So... There's one called Walk Through This Door.
That's the one.
Okay, that's the one. And you know, that one, it was actually my dad.
Oh, so really?
I had a great relationship, loved dearly, but just realized it wasn't even necessarily written for that time. I'd gone through a lot of changes, but I saw before how I had been, you know, catering, trying to please him, trying to fit in to what he wanted me to be. And because I loved him so much that I wanted to please him, make him happy. But then that's what the song's about. Now I have to take off this mask, you know?
That really got me. That was interesting. Yeah. And I wondered if that was the relationship issue, but it is a relationship issue,
but it's
the father.
It's so true, because it's tied into that, you know? And we all have those little themes that we kind of run on, you know? Mm. Our parental relationships tend to get mirrored in our other ones, you know? And they kind of go on until we release those and heal those, and yeah.
Well, you're in a great space.
It feels very good. It feels like a good space. But like you, it's like, yeah, I guess it is working out. You know, times right now, and there's such immense change right now, and I'm moving into, probably even moving up north, so moving into different areas, literally, and have been living in an RV for the last 2 years, traveling. So that's, nice. Yeah, it's been a grand adventure, and it's like, okay, it's time to settle a little bit in. And you know, when you're living in faith, in the book I mentioned, An Inheritance Came Through, everything just opened up, and it was really guided to give here, to help here, to give and serve. And so now I'm at a zero point, and it's starting all over again. And it's an exciting time, and it's also a time of wondering, wow, I wonder how this is going to work out. Okay. But it's a good space to be in, to live in that surrendered space and to know.
Where would you say, how long would you say the cycle was where you recognized that you were allowing yourself to see the openings? So when you made the conscious move to awaken, in essence, to start accepting yourself?
Yeah, well, that... Some books had been read. I remember reading a book on angels and different things before that big... shift happened, called a shift, and so it was probably 3 or 4 years of reading some things, you know, simultaneously being involved in different addictions and being in this abusive relationship at the same time, though, reading these other things and seeing that my ex-husband, he was also into some of these things, you know. So we tend to put the other person, and there's a song called Angel's Footprints, and that's the one that's about the relationship, now that I think about it. And it's, you know, this is not the first time we've met on this earth plane. Mm. Mother, brother, sister, lover, our souls remain the same. Mm. Wearing a mask of darkness, wearing a mask of shame. Here's the one of the sinner. I'll wear this one of the saint. You know, first I thought I'd been trampled upon, but now I see that I was wrong. You are the angel who helped me find my way. So that one even still gets to me, because he played the role of my angel throughout. Without that, just pushing and prodding and all the things that needed to happen to get me into that rock bottom, I see him in that role. And when that song came through, I had so much tears. Actually, my T-shirt was wet. You know, I got a puddle. I mean, that's how the release of seeing him in the true light of the actual role that he played, rather than the one my personality ego might want to blame him for playing.
Yeah, I got a couple of those angels in my life right now I'd like to send back to heaven. Thank you for that perspective. You know, in the book you have...
Glad to see you're embracing it.
It's all good, obviously,
because
shit is coming up.
Yes.
What if all you ever really wanted to know was who you were and what you were doing here? What if those questions just about drove you crazy? What if you knew there was more to life? What if one day you got an answer and life was never the same? Again, that's deep.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you talk about in this book, Living Beyond Belief. And I love the really long title beforehand, which is How to Ditch the Life Your Mind Created and Start Living the One Your Soul Intended. So what if, I mean... your life is completely different than what you expected it to be. Mm. Obviously, it's better. Things have opened up. And so you're talking to people who are are in jail or prison, rather,
mm-hmm.
and people that are down on their luck, so to speak, and you're telling them, but there's another side.
Mm-hmm.
And so bridge that for us one more time before we close here. Explain yourself.
Well, more and more, and it's been a gift to work in the prisons, because more and more I see that there's the prison, it's almost like a metaphor. You know, yes, it's a physical prison, and sometimes it's almost easier, because people in a physical prison know they're in prison. Some of us on the outside, you know, we're in prison, we're in mental prisons, we're in emotional prisons.
That's
not aware of it.
Really great, actually. Yeah. That's
so it's all
great.
Prison. It's all prison. So this is kind of where the new direction and work is going. And when we can find the key to unlock it and realize it's not something out there, it's not a substance, a person, it's nothing out there, it's inside of us. And when we really have that deep intention to go inside and you know, no matter what, that commitment that just says, I'm going to find that key and keep looking till we find it because it's there.
So even in the mire, so to speak, of life.
Especially in the mire, because that's where the, you know, the Chinese symbol for opportunity also has crisis in it.
Oh,
so
really?
So there's, you know, when that mire is there, when it's really thick and dark, that's where we know there's a big miracle waiting to happen in that. The possibility and potential is in there.
So you got to look for it then. That's when you really got to look. That's
yes.
when you know you're close.
That's when you know you're very close. Right on the edge of that, yes, that next phase.
And
yeah.
So many people fall off of that edge without ever getting that to that place that
yeah.
we're talking about.
Yeah. And that's when it can really get hard, because if we, you know, if we don't sort of surrender into that space and really with the pure intention ask, okay, what is this about? And I'm willing. And taking responsibility, too. That's the biggest part. Like, I drew this into my life is so empowering, then this is happening to me. So I drew this into my life. What is my soul wanting me to learn right now? You know, what quality is trying to emerge on a greater level? And so the spiritual path, it doesn't necessarily get easier where we're just in the sky with angels and, you know, harps. It gets more difficult, but more of us, more of our spiritual self, the opportunity for forgiveness and unconditional love, those things start to get an opportunity for those to come out further. It's a divine opportunity. And if we don't embrace it, then we can get really stuck in there. In the resentment and in the, you know, and we kind of get on a downward spiral. So it's whatever can start to bring us up and
well,
out.
I think your life is a really great example, especially with the relationship and having come out of that experience, not only with a friend, with the ex being a friend, but
yeah.
having the ex transform himself and now helping
it's
others.
It's so exciting. I mean, talk about beyond belief. I mean, because I mentioned manifestation and money coming in and stuff, but that probably blew me away more than anything else.
Right.
Because that's from where we had come to be where we are now is so amazing. And you know what he does? He's a bail bondsman. So he works in the prison in another way, and he brings this to people through his associations with them. So the potential, and then what came is, my God, we might have a whole other purpose here together than having our daughter, because we have a daughter together. But it's... You never know when you really let go and go into it. Who knows? I never thought I'd be in an RV. I thought I'd be in my Santa Monica place, and this money came in. I was kind of set. And now it's just, wow. Who knows what's next? So you never
wow.
know.
Did you know that you and I were and Martin were going to sit here and have fun?
I had no idea. and the way it happened so quickly and gracefully and
that's true.
In alignment, yeah.
We met on Facebook.
On Facebook. Just a couple weeks ago.
On our Facebook pages,
yeah.
which you can visit, by the way. Life Changes with Filippo is ours right now. Jaya Lee.
Yes.
As Jaya Lee. That's J-A-I-A. L-E-E, those are two words. And your website is?
livingbeyondbelief.com.
Now, at the website, people can get the book, Living Beyond Belief, and also the CD eventually.
Eventually, once the website breaks, we'll get my pages up. Yeah, so that'll be on there. And you can always contact me through the website.
And the CD is Pandora's Box. It has been so great. You just never know. And we've let go together and here we are.
Yes.
Is there anything
perfect.
That you'd like to share with everybody that you didn't get a chance to during the interview? That's enough. In any event.
Hey.
No, go on, play. Go on.
You know what? This is, I've been thinking about it more and more. Whenever I get a chance like this, you know, our collective vision and collective consciousness is creative. So for everyone to just to take a moment in this moment and to imagine a world without prisons.
Mm.
And to really feel into that, because it's a possibility and it's where we're going. I've seen it.
Wow.
Yeah, I really love that
Thank
idea
you.
Of the prisons being healing centers.
Yes.
That's the only way to really be able to affect change.
It is. That's the new heaven, new earth. It's not punishment and blame. Yes.
Wow. Well, with that, I have to say thank you. You are just a delight. And we're hugging, by the way. And we look forward to connecting again very soon. Please wait for us so that we can have a few minutes before we all leave the studio. But thank you, Jayali, for joining us today. What was your website again?
Livingbeyondbelief.com.
Well, speaking about beyond belief, we've got our very own Dorothy Lee, who sometimes takes us there beyond belief, and we're glad that she does, because she opens up areas in our lives that we are so in desperate need of. So I'm thanking you for the story. You're going to share whatever that is, because I know it's going to be good.
Wow. I'm so happy that Jaya was with us tonight. We share a common dream for the planet and the beings on it. Tonight, I want to encourage each of you to change your stories, if you haven't already, and begin your new lives. Human beings are storytelling people. Some stories have been passed down from generation to generation. When they're positive stories about people overcoming their challenges and the obstacles that humanness brings to us, this is a good thing. If they're horror stories about how cancer runs in the family, or that the men in the family die of heart attacks at the age of 40 or younger, this is not so good. The book and the movie The Secret taught us that tomorrow is what we believe, feel, think, say, and do today. Masaru Emoto's messages from Waters prove this scientifically. In order for us to co-create the freedom and a liberation that we deserve, we must first realize that we are not our stories, but rather the ever-present consciousness behind them. There is an amazingly simple practice for finding this freedom. There are three steps. When self-doubt, conflict, or suffering arises, be present with it and eventually learn to welcome it. Notice the stories, the thoughts, the beliefs, judgments, and expectations you're telling yourself. And if you need help in noticing your stories, I suggest you ask your friends, your loved ones, your family members. They'll be happy to help you out because they have heard your stories over and over and over again, and they will be more than thrilled.
Why are you looking at me when you say that?
Oh, you're so funny tonight. Well, to be honest, Filippo has helped me change my stories, and I bow to you.
What I was getting at. I thought you were saying that I'm the one that had the stories over and over again. But thank you for saying that.
And I have helped Filippo change his stories, too. That's what loved ones do.
There are some she's still trying to change, by the way.
So be willing to look at and see the truth, the thought, or the story, just like the emotional reactions that go with them. They come and go, but you become aware and feel what you feel when someone says something. If you react in anger, I can guarantee you that it is more your issue than it is the person you think you're angry with. So, as you master the practice of figuring out what your stories are and whether they serve you or not, you will free yourself from beliefs, expectations, judgments, and all forms of negative thinking. And again, you can ask your family, friends and family to help you with this. So it's time for all of us to awaken to our true inner peace and well-being. And we can look at problems as challenges and opportunities for creativity and growth. Let us learn, remember how to meet others, whoever they are, without fear. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I agree so much with Jaya that the prisons need to be healing centers. There are so many people in prison right now who don't belong there. They just have never learned what their stories are. So let us help one another hear our stories and then change them to ones that absolutely help us and help the planet. We must also begin to develop relationships that are rich with love, meaning, and purpose. We go through so many reactionships, and it's really time for us to learn how to relate to one another. If we choose to live from a place of heartfelt gratitude, that is the secret of abundance. So let the magic begin. Change your stories, and you will change your life. I have a friend who is one of the most creative people I know, and he's creative in every area possible. He's a writer, an actor, an artist, a storyteller. He is amazing. One of the best stories he's written is about a guy who never gives up. And I know that someday this will become the classic that The Little Engine That Could was for my generation. In the past, this was also my friend's story, and not just the story of a character in a book. However, it is time for him to write a new story, and he is. His new book will be about a guy who could do and did do it all. It is time for all of us to know that the best years are beginning right here and right now. In this very moment, dwell on your dreams. Visualize you accepting monetary rewards from your peers. Keep believing in yourself. There may be days when you get up in the morning and things aren't the way you had hoped they would be. That's when you have to tell yourself that things will get better. There are times when people will disappoint you and let you down, but those are the times when you must remind yourself to trust your own judgments and opinions, to keep your life focused on believing in yourself and all that you are capable of. There will be challenges to face and changes to make in your life, and it is up to you to accept them. Constantly keep yourself headed in the right direction for you. It may not be easy at times, but in those times of struggle, you will find a stronger sense of who you are. So when the days come that are filled with frustration and unexpected responsibilities, remember to believe in yourself and all you want your life to be, because the challenges and changes will only help you to find the goals that you know are meant to come true for you. In fact, the more I learn to turn things around and to look at the situation as having a great gift, the greater and the more gifts I begin to find. I choose to always find the good now in every situation. And I always believe in myself and my wonderful co-producers who are doing everything they can to get me to laugh. I choose to smile.
You're not supposed to tell them that.
I choose to smile and allow the power of my smile and positive thinking to empower me and others. Try it. It really works. Until next week, please remember that you are the power in your world. You are the guru you've been waiting for, and choose to become a very conscious co-creator by making very elegant choices for yourself and the planet. And never forget that you are powerful beyond measure and that you are love, you are lovable, and you are loved.
Right back at you, Dorothy, and it wasn't me trying to make you laugh. I was the one laughing at what Mark was doing.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's actually good to put a voice to a face to a voice, because we hear his voice on the radio all the time, but I never get to see his face. So in any event, Dorothy, I wanted to, you used the reactionship versus relationship thing in this talk, and I love when you do that, because it's just so real. Okay, now he's trying to make me laugh while I'm on air. This is not working. Okay, this has got to be a video, a visual medium, so that people can see you. Of course, maybe.
Hello, Ginger.
Sure, plan it on me.
Tell your mom hello.
Oh,
hi, Mom.
Well, what about me? Can I tell my mom hello?
Yes, tell
hi,
your mom hello.
Hi, Mama.
Hi, Ginger. So, Dorothy, do you want to tell your mom hello?
Hi, Mama.
So what was I saying? Reactionship versus relationships, and I love it when you talk about that, because that's so clever and so true. And Mark, thank you for being here and making us laugh.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for producing this so we can be here making each other laugh and having a great time. That is our show for today. How'd you feel?
I felt wonderful.
Yeah? Did you kind of like being...
It's nice to chime once in a while.
To chime? Being a chimer?
Being a chimer.
Yeah, well, don't get used to it. In any event, if you're going to laugh, laugh louder. Cause they can't.
I fired me.
No, you were good.
Oh, okay, good. Then I didn't. I'm rehired.
You were good. It was fun, and I actually like what you had to share, and I know Jaya enjoyed you as well. It was fun. And that's our show.
Okay.
So, should we do this again?
Now, starting now?
No, yeah.
We might have to call the engineers first.
That would be fun, actually.
I would enjoy that.
You know, we have a guest next week, and it could very well be a really big guest that has tentatively confirmed. So I don't know if we should really say. Should we? Miguel Ruiz? What?
Miguel Ruiz? Yeah.
Ruiz. What'd I say?
Luis?
Did I say Luis?
Is that her sister?
No, because it's his last name.
Oh.
So Miguel Ruiz, who wrote The Four Agreements.
Correct.
And actually has finished a fifth one.
Correct.
And so we're excited about the fact that we may have him on the show. He's already agreed to it, evidently. It's just that his schedule might not work out for next week and all. But it's great to be getting all kinds of guests from all different walks of life and the stories that they're sharing. And like today's guest that we thank again, Jaya Lee, for being on the show with us. The time seems to go by so fast. But remember, you can keep the conversation going on our website at www.lifechanges.ws and on our Facebook pages and all that good stuff. And remember that today's show has been made impossible in part by... This is your fault. You realize.
Made impossible. By myself. Thank you.
I made it impossible. I started out flubbing that word, and here I am still flubbing. I'm a flubber today. I flubbed. So what was I saying? Our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems. Change your water, change your life. And Dorothy was saying, change your story, change your life. And I think that's very appropriate. And she's, of course, Love and Miracles and a sponsor on the show. So to learn more about them, visit our sponsor page on our website and click on their respective links. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and it has been my pleasure being of service by hosting Life Changes Today. I, along with our segment host and producer Dorothy Lee and producer Mark Leger and our engineer Seth, thank you for joining us and being part of the show and being part of the change we all wish to see in the world. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. Join us here every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and visit us on the web at lifechanges.ws. Also, you can follow our community on Facebook at Life Changes. Join us here next week as we consciously embrace and explore the only constant, life changes.